It is the Rick Emerson radio program. This email says, Rick, how about playing Convoy for the masses? No. No. Instead, how about I never play Convoy? Speaking of that, though. Speaking of, like, anybody needs to hear Convoy ever again. That's one of those, and maybe that is a generational thing, but that's one of those songs that I don't even need to hear. It's like, pardon me, it's like there's certain movies I don't even need to see. Like, Raiders of the Lost Ark is like this, where I don't even really need to watch Raiders of the Lost Ark. I can just sort of close my eyes, and I can play the entire movie in my head. So it is with that song. But you know what? Somebody sent me, who was it? I think it was Richard, I don't want to guess. I know I'm probably wrong about that. But a guy sent me a worst song you've ever heard, and it's a song that I used to have to play at country radio all the time. And I bet you can guess it, Tim Riley. It is the most painful kind of worst song you've ever heard. It's a terrible, terrible song that was a huge hit. It was a massive hit. It's not like a worst song you've ever heard, because there are sort of two different categories. There's a worst song you've ever heard, like Wing, or The Kids of Whitney High, or, God, what is that Oh Holy Night that we played a couple Christmases ago where the guy was all, fall on your knees? There's that. And then there's it's the worst song you've ever heard that's like Elvira by the Oak Ridge Boys. You know what I mean? There's a song that was recorded with all seriousness. It was not recorded as a joke, and it was a big hit. And this song was a country gold single. And I will guarantee you, Tim Riley, that you think on it for a minute. We'll take a couple calls, and we'll come back and see if you can guess what it is.
It wasn't Swinging, was it?
It was Swinging. First guess. Look at that.
I hated that song.
See? And how universally known is that to be a bad, bad, bad song? That's a song that makes you want to dig out your own eyeballs with a spoon. It's so terrible.
But fans of that genre love that thing for some reason.
God damn. Well, my father, who's an idiot, of course, as he's sitting wearing his We Got a Big Old Convoy shirt, undoubtedly, and swilling, you know, drinking tobacco from a mail, you know, from a mail pouch sack, sitting there, play that John Anderson song again. All right. Let me get a couple of these. Scott Daly.
Yes.
Hello. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. I'm actually off I-5 now, but I was traveling I-5 south. I was just about Woodburn heading down to Salem, and I looked over, and there's a motorcycle next to me, and there's some chick riding the motorcycle. And
a hot little number, as Jim Roop would say?
Not so much hot. I don't think it's quite that great. But,
okay.
But her pants were really, really low down, and her black and white striped G-string was very visible. the bottom of her shirt was flapping up, so... Everybody on I-5 can see what panties she was wearing.
I figured since
Roop had that moment, I thought I'd add one to the mix.
Apparently, this is a well-known summertime phenomenon that I wasn't really privy to. The women on, first of all, I don't think I used to see a lot of women on motorcycles. Maybe that's some sort of a recent development. Yes.
Yeah, I don't remember seeing many either.
All right, but
in the last few years, but you know.
And so was there, as there was with Jim Roop, a long line of people following the woman to glimpse her? Men are so pathetic. Jim Roop followed, and look, Roop. This is in case you didn't hear. Last Friday, Jim Roop from CNN is on the highway. There's a woman in front of him on a motorcycle. The wind blows her skirt up so he can see her underwear. I mean, you're not even really seeing anything. You're just seeing something that covers the thing you want to see. And yet, of course, like an idiot, he's following her for 10 miles. Now, look, at no point, it becomes Beavis and Butthead at a certain point where they're watching that Lisa Loeb video hoping that she'll fall out of her dress. You know, it's not going to happen. At no point is the wind going to be strong enough that it actually rips the underwear from her body. It's never going to happen.
No, no. And in this case, I wouldn't even think twice about it, but... Remember when Jim said it on Friday? I was like, oh well, I've got to report my sighting now too.
And thank you. This is sort of our variation on a Flash Friday. It's sort of a mooning Monday or something.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
All right, Scott Daly. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
All right, I got to go to the phones here because the line now says Scotty has some police officers hanging out with him.
Oh.
Nothing says exciting radio like the police. Hello, Scotty.
How's it going?
Hello. So where are you at now?
We're still on the same street, but the folks that are sleeping in the hotel are a little bit irritated at us, and so these nice officers just came up to me, and they're like, you can protest, but you use the bullhorn again, and they'll have to confiscate it.
Don't confiscate. That bullhorn represents our entire...
Go on the record and want to talk to you, okay?
That bullhorn represents our entire promotions budget.
I'll let you tell him that. So here's the nice officer. Here you go.
What cell phone does he have?
Here.
Hello, officer. What is your name, please?
Oh, Maresky, these guys just want me to let you know that they really love this job and they want to stay out here doing this all day, but they can't use their PA system.
No, it's fantastic. We appreciate that. Now, let me ask you this.
Are you frustrated with the fact you haven't seen Tom Cruise's baby?
There's another person on the line here. I don't even know who this is.
Hello?
This is the producer.
No, this is the Rick Emerson radio program officer.
Are you there?
Jesus Christ.
Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay, that was the officer for you.
Did we confuse him?
Okay,
I want to know if he's frustrated.
Say what now?
Never mind.
It's gone.
Yeah. Never mind, the moment's passed. No, we've
I'm exhausted from the talk.
The magic has dissipated.
The magic has dissipated.
This is the worst bit ever.
Now, because there's a lot of people that showed up here today, so...
Okay.
And then we just had two jet planes. Oh, and the other officer wants to say something to you real fast.
Okay.
Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, that's Officer Maresky again.
Hello, officer. How are you, sir?
I'm very good. I'd like it to be known that the Portland police demand to see Tom Cruise's baby.
Thank you. That's what we're talking about right there. That's exactly what we're talking about. All right, officer. Well, sir, stay safe, and thank you for your solidarity on this issue.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you, officer. All right, there you go.
It took a change of chief of police for this to happen.
I should have asked him if he wanted to press his chocolate body against
him. Guys, thanks a lot. I love it.
Okay, bye now. All right. Jesus. I just hung up. He couldn't even hear me. Well, you know, let's get... Hello, Chris?
No. Yeah.
Hello, this is Chris, also known as Boba Fett. How are you, sir?
Doing very good.
All right,
Scotty J is a happy man because he thinks he's going home now.
All right.
He's not.
No, it's...
he thinks he's going back to the station.
At what point did the police show up down there?
About 5 minutes ago.
All right. And is it because the bullhorn is waking the still-asleep residents of the Heathman?
Yeah, I guess the people in the Heathman were being woken up by our loud chanting of all three people.
You know, does it annoy you that they're still asleep at 1 p.m. and you're down there fighting for truth and justice and the right to see a baby that doesn't belong to you?
Yeah, it does. It makes me a little upset that they're sleeping. They should come down here and chant with us, if anything.
That's what I'm saying. If they were true Americans.
Yeah, if they were true Americans, they would.
All right.
We've had people drive by saying bigger than Jesus, other people honking their horn going, woo!
So the people are with us on this.
The people are with us.
I feel like this, and here's what I'm saying now, I feel like this is the first ripple of what will become a great wave of public demand.
Right now, this is the best protest ever, right?
I really feel like the next thing is just going to be some website, the showusthebaby.com, you know, and that's it. And this will have been the spark that lit a great public wildfire, sir.
Oh, definitely.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. I'm so exhausted. This was really...
It required a lot of listening.
This, I really feel like this was, as Eric Stratton would say, I feel like this situation absolutely required a really futile and stupid gesture be done on somebody's part. And I'm glad that we were the people to do it.
You know, it's really exhausting.
What's going to happen is that we poorly planned this. We only have four people to protest. Some other radio station's totally going to steal this idea.
Yeah,
and
well,
we can have like a huge thing.
That is, we sort of lay the groundwork for others to come along. And that is sort of what we
do.
They
need louder bullhorns. That's all I can recommend.
I do have to say that this was just like every event, though, that you do, like at a rock station, especially kind of back in the day when everybody was on a cell phone, and no one could ever hear you. That's the thing. You would be at, like, the Foghat concert, and you'd be trying to call into the radio station.
Hello?
And the guy, exactly, and that's exactly what it is, where the guy at the radio station, like, I have been this guy so many times, where I will be on the air. The guy is at, like, the 38 special show. He will call up to the radio station and say, "Hey, there's our evening guy, Greg. He's live at 38 Special. Let's go to the phones. Greg, what's happening at 38 Special?" And then you pick up the phone, and it's just a whole lot of, and in the background, the guy is shouting. He can't hear you. You really can't hear him. And inevitably, somebody screams a profanity over the air. That's what happened. That's how all of that, that is what lies at the end of all of these stuff.
Well, please deposit 10 cents for the next 5 minutes.
All right. Kristen is noting that, Kristen Bowie, who is screening the calls while Scotty is down, downtown, she is noting that the way we feel about John Anderson swinging is how she feels about it's 5 o'clock somewhere, which I think is that Brooks and Dunn song. Oh. Man, let me tell you, I didn't...
No, 5 o'clock, I thought that was Jimmy Buffett, like he sang that with somebody.
Oh, that's right, is it Jimmy Buffett and Alan Jackson, maybe? Kristen, is it, who sings it's 5 o'clock somewhere, is it Jimmy Buffett and Alan Jackson? Yeah. All right, so Yes. Thank you. Smokey just stuck his head in here. I didn't work in country radio this time, but I worked next to a country station in the mid-90s when all... Here's... You talk about the worst radio trend of the last 20 years. When country radio, they were all doing these club mixes of country songs. And it was so... It was like some terrible combination of like London Club Kids and like Toothless Hillbillies, where they would have like a 9-minute house mix of like Boot Scootin' Boogie or something. It was just and it just really, it made you want to go into a closet and just hang yourself and just weep for your career and your industry. All right. Well, should we break here so we don't get behind?
Yeah.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Gary Baumgarten is going to join us live from Manhattan, where apparently they've declared yet another emergency. Yes, another heat wave has broken out.
What are they supposed to do about that?
I'm really unclear about what the emergency is supposed to accomplish, but I suppose we'll find out. We'll talk about MTV, which is 25 years old. This week, later on today, we have Dennis Pitzenbarger for the Portland Tribune, who's going to be here. Scotty J will come back and recap what happened down to him. We get the Week in Geek as well. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We're back after this. Now, you don't want to know the song, do you?
I do.
Do you want me to tell you now?
Yes.
All right. Okay, now, but I got to warn people so they tune out, though.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to announce, because you have asked me, sir, I have to announce in advance that we are going to be spoiling a little bit, because tonight is Rockstar Supernova. And Storm, we had her on yesterday, and she was telling us that she sings something. See, and I knew when I talked to her yesterday, I knew what it was, because Davey told me on Sunday. And he made me ask, like, it's like when you try to reset your TiVo, and it makes you confirm it, like, 3 or 4 different times. Davey knows that I try to stay spoiler-free, but here's the thing about Rockstar is I've just given in. I don't go online and read the message boards, but that's not because I don't want to be spoiled. That's just because something about those message boards for Rockstar Supernova, they just infuriate me. You know what I mean?
They get vicious, and it's mad when you know the person.
And it's like how a Snickers is packed with full of peanuts. It's like those message boards are just packed full of retards. And I just, so I've just made like a little vow within myself not to read them. But anyway, so I do know what she sings. So if you don't want to know what Storm sings tonight on Rockstar Supernova, please now to be tuning out for like the next 10 seconds. And... okay, she sings Changes by David Bowie, which is not, I mean, I'm not a huge David Bowie fan, but I mean, it's a good song.
I love that song.
And I'll be curious to kind of see what she does with that. So that's the night. I don't know when she sings, though. I don't know. And if you know, you can actually call us, because I know that. See, I don't consider that a spoiler, because it doesn't matter to me.
No, that's not a spoiler. It's when you know not to go to the bathroom, you know?
That's what I'm saying. It's like, if she sings first, 10th, doesn't matter to me. So if you know when Storm sings tonight, in what order, you email us or call us or something, let us know. But that is what she sings. So I'm looking forward to it, just because it is different from what she's done for the last few weeks. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Just a moment, we'll welcome CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten to the Rick Emerson Show. You know what I've had today is too much caffeine. I've had two, and here's why. Because I woke up this morning, and... something funny?
No, I just thought the comment was humorous.
Okay. There are certain times that I'm doing this program, and Tim just sort of has a silent little secret chuckle to himself, as though it's a private joke that only he can hear. Only Tim and the other voices inside his head know the merry story that's being told. But I woke up this morning, and I had some of this. It was not a plug, but we had that V-soda. And what I did not realize... but what I now know is that there are two different kinds. I mean, there's many flavors. There's like 8, 9 different flavors. But I didn't realize that it comes in two distinct varieties. One is caffeinated and one is not. And I realize now, because the one that is caffeinated, which I only discovered after I'd pounded down about half a bottle, it has a huge, you know, like one of those caution wet floor signs. It has a huge little thing on the back with an exclamation mark in the center that says, "Danger! Caffeine warning!" Because there's apparently the equivalent of like 3, 4, 5 cups of coffee in that. And so I put down a huge bottle of it. And then, of course, my normal cup and a half of coffee before I left the house. And then my normal like 6 or 7 cups when I got here. And so I'm just feeling the slightest bit on edge. So if at any point I sound like I'm just sort of sitting and vibrating in place, that's from whence that derives. So we'll talk to CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten here. Then we'll go to Tim Riley. We'll try to squeeze in the top 5. Scotty J will be back from downtown. Dennis Pitzenbarger is going to get here. And if I feel especially motivated and or hateful, we'll play this It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. Because Tim and I should not suffer with this John Anderson song in our heads alone.
No.
Let us now welcome from Manhattan.
I love
Thank you. New York City, oh yeah. New York City, I love. New York City, oh yeah. New York City. CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten, who joins us now on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Yo.
Gary Baumgarten, how are you, sir?
I'm good.
So we just got this handed to us that they have New York City declares emergency, says the headline, as heat wave bakes East Coast.
It's hot. It's pushing 100. In some places, it may be over 100. So.
Oh, pushing 100, please. Yeah. I think the bar has been raised for heat emergency over the last few weeks. It was like 115 in the valley in California last week.
Well, is it as humid as here?
No. Let me ask you this. Did they get the power restored to Queens?
Yes. But it took 10 days to do it.
10 days. Not the traffic and stereotyping, but New York has the reputation of being a somewhat unstable and occasionally violent place to begin with, and that's when the air conditioning is working.
Yeah. Well, no, actually, it wasn't so bad. I was actually surprised myself that there wasn't, like, a spike in crime in the neighborhood. I heard nothing of that.
Maybe it's just too hot. Maybe it's,
too hot for even the criminals.
Too hot for a mugging. I'm sorry. That absolutely requires the. There you go.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. No, I'll be here all week. So, what exactly does a heat emergency entail? Is that where they just say like, no, seriously, no, just stay home? No, really, we mean it. I mean, what do they do?
They open up cooling centers. They extend the hours in the pools. They recommend to people that they do not go out in the heat of the day unless it's absolutely necessary. But, you know, people still have to work. I interviewed some construction guys who say, well, we just adapt to it and drink a lot of Gatorade. God. I mean, what are you going to do, not work?
Yeah, I can't. Well, we had some guys who were last week we were talking about how damn hot it was here. And we had guys calling us from road crews, guys who were on top of buildings. But we had a guy who was a bus driver.
Uh-huh.
And he was driving public transit, driving a bus, no air conditioning.
Just
that
non-air conditioned buses?
Just that impotent little fan that blows back and forth.
Does
nothing. And it was
go to Mexico and the buses have air conditioning.
It was actually so hot that I'm sorry, brothers, don't blame me.
I'm just saying, what's with the city fathers and mothers?
It was actually so hot that the buses were breaking down from the heat. And of course, then at that point, even if you have air conditioning, it's not working because the bus is by the side of the road like some sort of dead metal animal. And it's just and he said at that point, it was just sort of Lord of the Flies. The bus drivers were like, well, you know, fend for yourself, I guess, because they had no wherewithal to go pick people up, and it was just a nightmare. So
I certainly hope that they're reevaluating how they do that so that it doesn't happen in the future.
That's usually the way it works.
Yeah, after the fact.
Yeah, that's,
hopefully they fix it so that the next time you have a heat wave, people aren't suffering like that.
Well, here's the thing: is humans. Let's not even just say humans. We've been here in this country for about 240 years.
Yeah.
Now, you would think that by now they would sort of have assessed that during June, July, and August, temperatures are raised a little bit, and they might plan accordingly. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Although this is an extraordinarily hot summer.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, let's...
Throughout the country. I mean, the temperatures are high.
They got you covering this MTV thing.
Yeah.
And I swear to God that I thought MTV's 25th anniversary was a few years back. I thought it was older than that.
Nope, it's 25 years. But what's very interesting about MTV, you know, they always try to be hip and current. So in their vision to maintain that, they're not celebrating the anniversary. Because if you celebrate the anniversary, then it's a throwback to the old. And these kids that they're reaching out to today obviously weren't around 25 years ago. Sure. Watching MTV.
I do think about that sometimes, actually. I think about the target demo for MTV, which is 12.
Changes continuously.
Well, and I think right now it's very young. It's like 12 to 17.
Mm-hmm.
And so I do think about how bizarre that is, that MTV sort of is anomalous in that it is a thing. So 25, so let's see, 1981. So if you were 16 in 1981, that is 25. Okay, so it is conceivable. I guess not grandkids, but it's conceivable that the kids who are watching, in fact, likely, the kids who are watching MTV now, their parents watched MTV growing up.
Right.
I mean, that is a bizarre concept because there are very few things that can keep their sort of hip cachet.
Yes.
you know, after 25 years, and I guess you're right, that the only, that never even occurred to me, that the only way they really keep their hipness is to not sort of remind kids that they are watching something that their parents watched.
Right. Now, they do have a sister network called VH1 Classic, which I don't know how many, carry it.
We're all over VH1 Classic because we're old.
Yeah, well, if you want to see what MTV looked like on day one, go watch VH1 Classic when you get home tonight.
First
day, yep.
That? Are they actually playing the whole first day?
Yes, yes.
Oh, and, I'm all
and,
over
and
that.
And you'll see how, while it was breakthrough kind of programming back then, you'll see how kind of stale it is by today's
standards. Oh, it's terrible. I mean, all of that stuff that MTV is so known for now, which is the fast cuts and the quick editing and the slick production values, none of that was present in 1981.
Right.
It was
actually,
just
it really started rolling, in my opinion, when Michael Jackson cut the Thriller video.
Sure. I mean, you look back in the early days, it was like bad cable access, and it was just Mark Goodman with his big afro.
Right.
And just like a lot of faux brick wall in the background. It really was like out of a bad trailer somewhere, you know what I mean?
CNN started that way too. Of course, they threw a folding table up, and I think they threw some kind of a paper tablecloth off over it, and put the microphones up, and boom, they were on the air.
It is true. The really bizarre thing about VH1 Classic, which we watch a lot here at the Rick Emerson Show, because Tim and I, especially, because Tim and I are in that demo,
right.
And Sarah Dillon is sort of between demos right now, a little old for MTV, a little young for VH1 Classic, but Tim and I are all over VH1 Classic. Here's the really creepy thing about VH1 Classic, though, and I've pontificated about this on numerous occasions. The bizarre thing about VH1 Classic is that, to my knowledge, there was no real marketing campaign behind it. There was no push behind it. I don't ever remember seeing VH1 Classic advertised.
Right.
I just woke up one day.
And there it was.
And I had, well, not only that, but I just sort of woke up one day and I had quit watching MTV and I had begun watching VH1 Classic.
Yeah.
And the creepy thing about that is, I don't even remember making the conscious choice. It means that I was just picked up and moved. Like the marketers moved me to VH1 Classic without my knowledge, without me even being aware of it. And the creepy part about that is that lets you know that there was a bunch of white guys sitting around a table in a conference room in New York somewhere saying, yeah, that Emerson guy, he lives in Portland. He's 28. Let's move him to VH1 Classic starting tomorrow.
Yep.
And then they did it, and I never even realized it.
Yeah.
It's very bizarre.
How the media manipulates the masses.
It's true, and I'm not, you know, it's not like it's a conspiracy or something, but it is sort of bizarre to think about how those choices so often are made for you, because all the guys I know who are in my demographic, you know, white guy, mid-30s, rock and roll kid, you know, they're all watching VH1 Classic, and we all kind of did it without being told to, you know what I mean?
Now, do you watch ESPN Classic?
I don't, but that's only because I'm not much of a sports fan.
Yeah.
So, but I know a lot of guys who do.
It's kind of odd, though, because when you look at the synopsis of whatever they show on ESPN Classic, they'll say, this was a big game between so-and-so and so-and-so that the Rangers won with an overtime goal by so-and-so against his old teammates. It's like, well, then why watch?
You know? Seriously. No.
Given the ending to the show.
I'm with you on that. Now, I am not going to ask you what the first video on MTV was, because that question is yesterday. That's a lackluster question that everybody has done. I will ask you if you can name Gary Baumgarten, if you can name all of the original VJs.
The VJs? No, I can't name all of them.
Oh, all right. Well,
I can't name them all.
That's okay, sir. That's all right. You make
but
up
VJs,
for it.
The VJs, you know, there was one time that the VJs were the show. Now the music is the show.
I'm not young enough, but I don't think I could name a single VJ that's great. Sarah, can you name a single VJ currently on MTV?
Yeah, it's the girl that Nick Lachey is dating, Vanessa Molino or something.
All right,
that's about it.
But they're not
you're one
stars,
ahead of me.
You know, they're not stars like in the beginning. It was, you know, they were identifiable kind of people, right?
No. I think the days of probably Carson Daly was the last guy to have that level.
Well, Carson Daly, that's just
that level of celebrity. Right. He was the first guy to really branch out that way. Now it's just Kurt Loder and his increasingly waxy face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm there. Kerry Baumgarten, thank you, sir.
Have a great day and try to stay cool.
All right, there you go. That's Gary Baumgarten. He's so chipper. Gary's great because in so many ways he's kind of a throwback, and I mean that in a good way, to just kind of, like that ending, have a good day and try to stay cool. He's so much the anti-Roop.
Make it a good day.
It's true. We've got, this email about the Scientology
help
protest.
Me.
Let's see.
Like you
from Aaron.
Like on the boo.
Rick.
No!
Rick, Mike Aaron says, I had fully intended to join Scotty J and his J crew in front of the Celebrity Centra. However, upon gazing at said protest, I was eerily reminded of the wholly pathetic Save the Sulu Show protests at Paramount a few years back. As such, I averted my gaze, turned my head, and slowly, oh so slowly, walked away.
Oh,
all right, there you go. That's a Scotty J.
I skipped out on Scotty J.
And his J crew.
Or they could be the J-Birds.
Patrick says, we have footage of the protest. I'll see what I can get out of it. I had a hell of a time getting around all the throngs of protesters. Ha ha. All right. How about this? Rick, thankfully, Jada and Will are not Scientologists. Will is obviously a Christian because he always references God in his lyrics, something Scientologists rarely do. As for saying that Suri has black hair, all babies have either black, red, or blonde hair. It is not until they reach about 6 months that the color begins to be distinguished. It says black hair means something. But we heard that the baby was bald anyway. That's the bizarre thing. Is that Leah Remini said not only was the baby of regulation size, but that the baby had thick black hair. And then somebody else, I think it was Jada Smith actually, said that the baby was bald. So... and then Kristen from Accounting finally notes that Lindsay Lohan has removed the Storm Large quote from her MySpace page. So there you go. We noted yesterday that Lindsay Lohan's MySpace page.
Oh, I was going to write to the listeners to be nice.
It had,
when I posted that.
It had Lindsay Lohan's MySpace page. Her About Me quote was six letters, Google. So, all right. Oh, somebody just sent me the entire set list from tonight's Rockstar Supernova. The order and what they sing.
What order is she in?
Storm is second to last. She is between... Lucas and Dana. Oh man, I'm looking at this. Okay, I won't give out the set list unless we decide that we should do it, but let me ask, do you think there's enough Nirvana on this goddamn program? Every single week, there's either Nirvana or Hole or quite possibly both, and this week it's both. So, alright. Well, anyway, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
From higher towns, the bottom of the coin tower, downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News Beat, Tim Riley reporting. A Mormon church leader is warning his flock about using the internet for social networking. David Lisbonby of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints say some websites are moral danger zones. The biggest one? MySpace. Baby boomers are getting their own online MySpace. This is more space.
God.
Apparently, the makers of Monster.com are launching the new website called Eons, designed exclusively for those under 50. 78 million Americans are baby boomers, and they're hoping that they use it. YouTube has established itself as the top of the league for the new generation of community websites and is more popular than MySpace.
YouTube is, I gotta tell you, YouTube is the new Napster, man. That's how we find, because we don't have any file sharing here at CBS. If they crack down on those, no P2P, as they say. But YouTube is how we get a vast majority. Like, all of those Rockstar clips, if we are not able to pull Rockstar clips at our house for something, like Scotty and I kind of do that, if we're not able to, you know that you're going to come in and they're going to be posted on YouTube, like, within 30 minutes. All there. This email is from Luke. Rick, for the love of God, you bastard. Give Scotty my crew's chance. I worked on them for several seconds, and I want nothing more than for my handiwork to be read out loud. So these are Luke's Tom Cruise chants, which we did not get to use. Help prevent maniacal killing. Please to be showing us the goddamn chillin'. Okay? Where is this baby of Cruise and his ilk? Is she somewhere feasting on stringy milk?
Wrong.
It's long overdue. Please to be updating your fact. Is Suri a human, an alien, or a macaque? Okay, there you go. That's, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. There you go, that's Luke. Here's Tim Riley.
Former Portland Police City Council candidate, I should say, City Council candidate Emily Boyles has till the end of today to repay those thousands of dollars in campaign funds, or she's going to be in a lot of trouble. She did pay back $68,000 in June, but still owes more than $92,000.
Isn't she the one who paid her daughter like $15,000 to surf the web?
She was cited for additional penalties for paying too much for the services of her daughter, as well as using public funds to pay for a telephone in her residence and to repay debts for campaign consultants.
Fantastic.
She's 40 years old. She defended paying her teenage daughter more than $12,000 to help with that campaign. Researchers have developed a vaccine that prevents weight. This is called an anti-obesity vaccine. It's been effective in rats.
It's called a cork.
Mm-hmm. The vaccine prompts the body to produce antibodies against... I don't know what this is.
Against a thing. Against a thing that can't be quantified or explained.
This is ghrelin, a hormone that stimulates hunger and weight gain. Vaccinated rats put on less weight while eating the same amount as those who did not.
All right. We've got this from Kristen Bowie, who was screening calls. Let's see. How about this? A caller wants... Listen to this. Tim, you'll know this. A caller wants to know... Do you realize the number of bizarre things that people call this program about just because they assume that we will know? And then we usually do.
You ought to see the email, I guess.
We ought to just... He's just shaking his head in disgust and shame. We ought to have a whole segment on this program just called, like, weird crap that you think we'll know. Mm-hmm. You know? A caller wants to know if you know the name of the brand of laundry detergent, which had the slogan, Ancient Chinese Secret. Tim?
I don't know.
But I remember it, don't you? Because it was Ancient Chinese Secret, and the other woman would go, Ancient Chinese Secret, eh? But I can't remember what it was for.
Hmm.
And see, now that's going to occupy...
It must have been during one of those periods when I didn't own a television.
One of those periods when you were answering blind box ads in the R&R. Well, speaking of which, I have here, this is the new R&R, which is Radio and Record, which is a trade magazine. And I only bring this up because we were talking about... God, why am I bringing this up? Because we were talking to Scotty last week about assembling his demo reel, and because you were talking about how you, Tim Riley, have not made an air check or a demo reel in... I mean, when is the last time you put together a reel to try to get a job?
1998, and Bruce didn't listen to it and hired me.
You were just hired sight unseen. Can you hold a newspaper? All right, you're in.
Well, I think it was because I was walking down the hallway and Bob McDavid just retired.
Well, you worked for trade. Okay.
That was the last time. What would I put on a demo reel and who would receive one?
I've got some Plaid Pantry vouchers. Would you like a job? Well, I mean, I made a demo reel. Let's see. The last time I created an air check. This is ironic, actually. No, I'm not ironic. It is strange because the last time Kristen Bowie was here, which was when Sarah was on vacation. The last time Kristen Bowie was in the building, we actually played part of your demo reel, part of Tim's air check, where it had that ad where you were talking like an Eskimo, which is the best thing I've ever heard.
That was from 1979.
I made, the last air check I put together was, God, I can't even remember. It must have been in 98. It must have been the year that Bruce hired me. I'm pretty sure that he never really listened to mine either. I think it was just that I was willing to work cheap and he had a noon to three slot available. But, you know, they tell you as you have a radio job, you know, you ought to be putting together an air check, which no one here does. I can guarantee you Sarah's not doing it. I'm not doing it. Because what's the point? What would an air check from this show possibly get us? Like, who would possibly listen to this radio program and decide that this is something they needed on their station? It would never happen. But I remember being young and stupid and reading R&R, which is a trade magazine for radio, and in the back they have this section, which is just sad now. You read it and it's just depressing. It's euphemistically called R&R Opportunities. And these are opportunities for you to waste your time. These are opportunities for you to get paper cuts, mailing things that will never be listened to. I've gone into program directors office. Look, I am a program director. We don't even really hire people here because we've only got $14 to run the station every year. Already in my office, I've got a stack of air checks, like 3, 4, 5 feet high. Just guys just mail stuff in. And you want to email them back and like, pal, it's not going to happen.
And some people deliver them, like on a Friday. Bad thing to do.
But these, and if you read this R&R magazine, in the back there are two sections. There are opportunities available, and then there are, and this is the sad section, positions sought. And
that is a column of shame. I mean, if you're ever so low in your life that you have to put an ad like this in there.
Have you tried everything. Have you ever put an ad in position sought?
Yeah, no, that is a position of shame.
No, I've done it. I totally have placed an ad. I don't even remember when.
You're totally at the end of your rope.
No, if you go back and read R&R magazine from 1991, mm-hmm. I'm sure you'll see a couple that were probably for me. Because the deal is the positions sought column is free. That's the other thing that's pathetic about it. It's free, and it's first come, first serve. space, you know, they do it according to space constraints, but they will give you like a free 30-word ad that you can place in the positions sought column.
There is nobody contacting the people in these ads.
No,
ever.
And let me just tell you right now, if you are in radio and you were putting an ad here in the back of R&R in positions sought, that will be read by no one. We are the only people in this nation reading the positions sought, and that's just so we can know that you will never get a job with that.
And the totally desperate have bought an 800 number for you to call. Because you're so desperate to talk to them.
I did that too. I bought my own 800 number. That's so great that you say that. In 1993, I had my own 800 number. So convinced
That's
was
so
I.
That's so desperate.
So convinced was I that people were going to read my free 30-word position sought ad. Well, this kid sounds like a real go-getter. And you know why they were going to think I was a go-getter? Because I put the words, I am a real go-getter, in my ad. Let's read a couple of these.
Sure.
Oh, God, these are just sad. Listen to this. These are the free Please Hire Me ads that some radio fools have put in the back of this month's R&R magazine. Energetic, flexible broadcaster. God damn. This is so depressing. Energetic, flexible broadcaster.
Probably weighs 300 pounds. First someone gets out of his chair, stuffs himself with junk.
Energetic, read, cocaine habit. I'm just saying that goofily. I'm sure that's not really the case.
No.
Because no one in radio has that problem. Energetic, flexible broadcaster. Ready to join your team.
Oh. There's no such thing as a team. It's usually one or two people that much.
There's no team. There's two people, one of whom is scheming to get the other one fired. And those two people, by the way, are just fighting for the right to program the automation system. We'll consider any available position.
Oh.
Read, deeply in debt, have drug problem, need money now. Have pawned everything I own. Have sold all appliances and maxed out credit cards. Family no longer speaks to me. Prefer Tulsa area.
Who wouldn't?
What's wrong with your head that you prefer? Over what? Over being beaten senseless?
For one thing, you can't get far enough from Tulsa with a full tank of gas.
I prefer the Tulsa area to being beaten savagely with hammers. Prefer Tulsa area, but will relocate. Oh my God, how about this?
Would love to work in Lufkin, Texas.
Prefer Boise, but willing to consider decent offers. Okay, we're reading the free Please Hire Me ads in the back of R&R. I hope Scotty's listening, by the way, on his way back from sweating in the sun for no money while holding a sign and being threatened by the police. Yeah. How about this one? Here's the next one. Young, energetic, enthusiastic broadcaster.
Actually in his 50s. Yeah.
Has been dying hair for 15 years. Interested in on-air announcing, newscasting, board operations, and production. Read, I have no real skills in any one area, but am desperate not to be on the breadline again. Please hire me. Please, please, please. And I have, do you ever see area codes? You don't even know where they are. Area code 918. God damn, that's also in Oklahoma. Apparently Oklahoma is an untapped bounty of talent. Attention to CBS Radio. How about this? Versatile, charismatic, broadcasting grad. Right there. Broadcasting grad. Can't even buy an ad. Reduced to putting a free commercial in the back of R&R. Interested in on-air commercial writing, production, and promotions. Willing to travel. Let's see. How about it? Let's see. What else do we have here? This is where they try to start up whittling. This just in, says the ad.
Oh.
They wasted three words on that. This just in, bright young newscaster seeking employment, intelligent, well-read, authoritative delivery, interested in reporting. Oh, my God. Zealous, aspiring, reliable, upcoming broadcaster. Hardworking and ready to go. There's not even any jokes to be made at this point. They're just ridiculous. And finally, here we go. This is from a guy named Alan who places this ad in this month's R&R magazine. Alan leads off with, all caps, catch the A train. I'm a recent radio school grad. I'm detecting a theme here. Also in Oklahoma, by the way. Apparently, the radio schools in Oklahoma are churning out the next wave of broadcasters.
Is it the same phone number?
Well, it beats Tumbleweed Barman. No.
It's either this or working in a worm ranch. I'm a recent radio school grad with a great attitude. Well, that'll be beaten out of you. Interested in on-air, board ops, sports, and news. I think that you... Here's the thing is they're making these so unbelievably vague and wide-reaching that they can try to get any available ad, none of which is going
to
work.
And nobody wants to be a board op.
Nobody wants to be a board op. That's the thing. No one... You know what it is? It's like...
Board oping is paying your dues. Board oping is sitting in a room by yourself pushing buttons for like 8 hours.
Except we're here. We're all crunched into one little room.
Exactly. It used to be that as a board op, you at least got your own studio. Those days are gone. Oh, my God. All right. And then, of course, there's another day we'll read these positions available.
You'll be the same ones every week anyway.
which are equally pathetic because it's an ad that everyone... You know what it is? It's sort of like responding to... I don't know. It's like responding to a really great personals ad or something. I think especially if you're a man, because you know you're one of 10,000 people. You know, hot chicks seeks guy for, you know, sex with, you know, without commitment, you know, and you know that there's like 500,000. Like, what is that in the Willamette? The wild encounters? The ones that you have to pay?
Oh.
In the Willamette? Because there's the regular personals, and then there's the wild encounter section, where it's like, you know, busty stewardess with plus, you know, sister seeking hot guy for, you know, for sexual romp. And you know that there's 400,000 guys responding. That's what it is to this, too. Pensacola's Cat Country. Ugh. Pensacola's Cat Country has an opening for morning drive. We need a hardworking, motivated, community-minded pro. If you do great phones, send your philosophy, demo, and true references. Oh, my God. If you are ready to roll up your sleeves and work your way to the top of the exciting Pensacola country market,
that is sad.
It really is.
Well, you could end up in Tallahassee.
Oh, here's okay. No, but do you want to hear the saddest of all? Do you want to hear the saddest of all?
Yes.
Okay. This is. Oh my God! Listen to this. Line one. Wants to get into radio and is stressed. Okay, this is the very saddest, and if you follow the radio industry at all, you know why, and I will explain if you don't. I will explain why this. I know we've spent like 10 minutes doing this, but this is really just a public service from us to you if you are perhaps foolishly considering broadcasting. This is in the R&R. This is the positions available section, Midwest. Which right there, I mean, Midwest morning show producer. Rover's Morning Glory, Chicago's morning show on WCKG Free FM, looking for an experienced producer. Book guests, coordinate live events, manage interns, develop show content, attention to detail, organization, knowledge of Chicago, and industry contacts a must. Previous large market producer and a promotions director experience preferred. Send resume, references, past accomplishments, and producing philosophy to Rover Producer, WCKG, Free FM, 2 Prudential Plaza, blah, 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 blah. Please, no phone calls. CBS Radio is an equal opportunity employer. This is the morning show producer job in Rover's Morning Glory, WCKG Chicago. Canceled yesterday.
Oh.
Oh.
They found it.
Whole bunch of envelopes right into the dumpster. There you go. If you close your eyes, listen very carefully. You can hear the sound of tapes being used again in the production room. You can hear the sound of air checks being used to tape over. Like, do you have something I can put a spec spot on? Yes, here's an air check. Someone we're never going to hire. Why don't you tape over this? Okay. We come back, we'll...
What's that?
I have no idea. My screen is flashing bright red.
A red thing is blinking.
Maybe that's the cancellation sign. We come back, we'll talk to John. Wants to get into radio. He's feeling a little stressed. All right, plus Dennis Pitzenbauer for the Portland Tribune. More of Tim Riley. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.